Welcome to Ignite Your Confidence for women in leadership who want to speak up and stand out. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Here you'll get all of the tips and tools that you need to stand out with unshakable confidence. Let's jump in to today's episode.
How to think on your feet. So many of us would rather prepare and have everything work out beautifully. That's simply not realistic, as much as wouldn't it be great if it were? But what we've got to do is be equipped with what to do in those situations where maybe we don't know what to do. And the power of thinking on your feet is critical. So I have a few tips for you today. And I am reminded first, starting off with an example of two framing questions that have helped me tremendously in my career. I actually learned at a marriage conference. This was put on by my friends, Doug and Val Richardson. They talked about the power of situations where you're stuck, you don't know what to do. And I'm talking about literally being in that situation. You're in front of the person and they say something that throws you, or something unexpected happens and you go, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do here. Think of these two framing questions as your guide in any situation that might be awkward, uncomfortable, or where there's a potential conflict, or you're simply not sure what to do. The first question is, what's needed here? What's needed here? The second is, what's required of me? What's required of me? If we can have those two questions at the ready, we'll have a lot more power in that conversation. So thinking first about, well, what's needed here? So let's say that I'm in a conflict with someone, or let's just say somebody interjects in a meeting and you're kind of annoyed because you were talking and they interjected. It depends how we would define that, but they threw off your train of thought. That's one of those that's hard to be mentally agile because it happens so quickly. And you've got to decide in that moment what to do. Do you let it pass? Do you let the person go on? Or do you stop and do something about it? So that would be a good example where you could immediately in your mind think, what's needed here? So sometimes what's needed is to allow that person to keep speaking. Perhaps it might be a heated situation, or even if it's not heated, the person needs to speak. Or perhaps whatever the person's saying needs to be heard by the others or by you. It depends if it's one-on-one or if it's a group. Or perhaps what's needed is for that person to stop talking and for other people to be heard. There's a lot of different potential scenarios that could go on. But the first question is really, from an emotional intelligence perspective, it's being attuned to what's happening in the room. Asking that what's needed here can get you there, at least get you closer. And if you get closer, then you're able to make a more intentional decision about what to do or what not to do. So again, the first question is what's needed here. The second question is what's required of me? And when I say what's required of me, I simply mean what would be the action that would be best for you to take? In the case of someone interjecting, is it best for you to say something? To say something adding back to the conversation, or saying, hey, I want to finish what I was saying, and then you can go ahead and say what you want to say? Or who knows? There's lots of possibilities here. But the point of those two questions helps to keep you grounded and know, okay, let's make some decisions here, rather than getting unraveled or letting the whole situation just consume you in a way that you feel out of control. So those two questions will help you to stay in control. The next is an example of a client of mine that I thought was absolutely brilliant, what we created together. She was telling me how she tends to overreact and immediately start speaking when someone says something. She was head of a large organization. And in board meetings, sometimes she would respond too quickly and not like the way she came across. She would come across as if she was reacting. And when I say reacting, it was not a positive reaction. So what we came up with is a mantra. I said, well, what do you think would work for you? And I said, how about if we come up with something that you could have at the ready? Again, we've got to have a strategy for these things. And we came up with her saying in her head before she spoke, stop, pause, breathe. And when she stopped, paused, and then breathed, that would give her enough chance to decide if she should say something. But it at least gave her that time to really think. And I say really think because a couple of seconds isn't a lot of time to think, but it is usually enough. That's the thing that astounds me. Sometimes we feel like we need all this time to think about what we're going to say. And of course, we want to be well prepared. But in a case where we can't be, and we are in those moments, and we know ourselves well enough to know, like in her case, she knew that she had a tendency to interject and in a way that she didn't like. She spoke too fast, and then people would respond in a way that wasn't favorable. And that was because of the way that she was doing it. So that was incredibly helpful for her. Stop, pause, breathe. And I'd recommend that for you as well. Maybe it's simply breathe. It doesn't have to be the three, but that really worked for her. The other thing to get better at thinking on your feet is to take an improv course. It is so helpful. I can remember in improv taking those courses because, first of all, as somebody who was taught to want to say the right thing and do the right thing all the time, it was very hard to unlearn that. But improv is such a great way to know that you are going to be fully accepted for who you are, no matter what you say. And the one rule, number one rule in improv is just say yes. And if we can come to the table with that philosophy, maybe not saying yes all the time, because I recognize that we also talk a lot about saying no and having good boundaries and that no is a complete sentence. But there are times when we are practicing this thinking on your feet concept. We've got to be able to say things with freedom so that we don't feel like we're going to be judged. Too many of us have grown up with that feeling. I know that well, that if it's not perfect, then it's not good enough. And then that really means that you're not good enough. We've got to be thinking about the importance of this being almost like a laboratory. I often tell that to my clients. Think about this as a laboratory. We're experimenting. We're trying out new things. And another thing, if you aren't immediately going to run out and go do an improv class, but you still want to learn how to think on your feet, another thing that you can do is you can do this with yourself, even better with a friend, but you can partner with somebody and have them drill you, throw questions your way, and then record it. See how you do with some of the questions. Can you jump right in? And then also, do you notice that when you take that pause to think for a moment, that it might feel like forever when you're doing it, but when you're actually in person, or excuse me, when you're actually doing it, it doesn't feel that long. And you only really know that if you record yourself. So this can be a way to do it. Now you might also think, well, how, if I do that, then I'm technically preparing, but the practice, the recording, and then the most important, watch it back, is absolutely critical. That will make such a huge difference. So we've got to keep that in mind. We've got to make sure that we are doing that so we have more self-awareness. And if you've got somebody that can drill you, and by the way, I'm available for that. I do that with my clients. If you're interested in that, please reach out. But the value of having an objective person in the mix with you is incredibly helpful. The other thing with thinking on your feet is to, number one, remember to be present. It's so easy to get fixated on yourself when you're not sure what to say or what to do. And if we can be present with the situation, and that's why I come back to where I started with what's needed here and what's required of me, that can make a huge difference. And that being presence is a good reminder to think about what to do in the moment when somebody throws you off. Number one, acknowledge what they've said and show empathy and be kind. That's really important. So let's say somebody asks you a tough question. And by the way, this is also in my book. I'm even referencing that now. What did I say in there? That was really good. First, pause to compose yourself when somebody says something that throws you off. And acknowledge their question and empathize, if appropriate, of course. So let's say it might be something like, you're absolutely right. Many people do disagree with this. So you've got somebody who disagrees. You can just simply acknowledge that disagreement and move on from there. Or that's a valid concern. Many people have said that. And, or another one, I can understand why you feel that way. Notice I didn't say, I understand why you feel that way, because none of us can truly understand how someone else feels. But putting the word can in front of it shows that it's not a full on, I understand, but it is, I can understand that. There's a subtle difference there. And then repeat the point of your message to stay on track, such as, let's get back to. Those are three great words to help any of us stay on track. If you notice that someone is rambling at a meeting or somebody is getting off track, let's get back to is a really powerful phrase to use. Let's review with what I just said. So again, if somebody says something, asks you a tough question or throws you off, here are three potential ways that you could empathize and then move things forward. Number one, you're absolutely right. Many people do disagree with this. Or number two, that's a valid concern. Or number three, I can understand why you feel that way. Then repeat the point of your message to stay focused and on track. That will help you to have some of those tools handy and at the ready to deal with it. And if you don't know the answer, say you don't know. It's okay. Somebody throws you off, say, I don't know, but that you'll get back to them. That's the key. You can't just let I don't know land. You have to say, I don't know, but I'll get back to you. Or I'll check on that. Or maybe if this obviously needs to be an authentic response, but something like, oh my gosh, I'd never thought of that. Or that hadn't occurred to me. I want to find out more and I will get back to you. And then make sure that you do follow up. One thing that you can do in a meeting when you have a group of people is to have a parking lot. You may already be aware of this term, but a parking lot is simply where ideas come out of the blue, perhaps, or from the discussion, but they're not actually part of the discussion. You can park those and then follow up later. So make sure, again, if you do, you got to do what you say you're going to do. If you're going to say that you'll follow up, make sure that you do that. Well, let's wrap up here with these tips about how to think on your feet. Remember those two framing questions, what's needed here and what's required of me. Those two things have been so incredibly helpful for me in my journey in communication and simply in life, be it a personal situation or a business situation. Having that awareness requires you, though, to also be attuned to what's going on around you. And what is required to be attuned is to be present. And a big way that you can be present is to be focused on other people, not on yourself. Be careful about getting too fixated on, oh, did I say that right? Oh, what are they going to think of me? All these things that we tend to, that naturally happen. I get it. I'm human too. That naturally happen. But when we get fixated on ourselves, we're unable to be fully present with others. So that also requires listening, being, again, attunement requires listening, paying attention to what's happening. On that note, I hope these gave you some tangible things that you can do to think on your feet. And as a reminder, if you are looking for a speaker or if you know anybody that might be looking for a speaker, I am focused on booking events for 2023, and it might actually be 2023 when I'm talking to you, probably. I'm recording this a little bit earlier, but feel free to reach out because I would love to see how I could serve your organization or someone you know in giving practical strategies for the boardroom and beyond. And that's a wrap of another episode of Ignite Your Confidence. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Thank you so much for listening. If you loved today's episode, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps other people find the podcast faster, and it certainly helps me.
If you're interested in more tips and tools around confidence, please join me over in my Facebook group called Ignite Your Confidence with Karen Laus. Remember, you too can stand out with unshakable confidence.